Hello and welcome to another episode of the Melton True Blue Podcast. This is episode 12 and we are accompanied by a very special guest, homegrown from Locust Grove, Mr. Derek Compton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Glad to have you on.
Yeah, thank you.
So you excited for the podcast?
Man, I am.
Okay. Yeah, and you're not too, we were talking earlier before the podcast, you're not too shy around the camera. You do some stuff outside of work that gets you involved. What do you do outside of work?
Well, I announce rodeos as well. Okay. Do some auctioneering work, and I also do some cowboy DJ work.
Yeah, so. It's taking off pretty good. I see almost every weekend you're out doing something on Facebook, it looks like.
Yeah.
And so you go to local rodeos and even travel sometimes too, don't you?
Yeah, I travel, we'll say a four-state area, okay. Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas.
So DJing and then doing, what was the other one?
Auctioneering work.
Yep. And what's the other one?
And then announcing rodeos.
What's your favorite out of the three if you had to pick?
Auctioneering.
Yep. Okay, just gets the blood going a little bit?
That, and I've been doing it a little bit longer. It's something I'm more comfortable with.
Okay.
It's something when I step to the microphone, I can just relax and go.
Okay. Now on the DJing, do you take song requests?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. What's your favorite song request you've gotten?
I don't know. It just kind of depends. So I label myself as a cowboy DJ.
Okay.
And the reason I'm not much into that uptown. When I show up, whether it's a wedding, a dance hall, it doesn't matter where I go. I do not wear a three-piece suit. I come in, we'll be starched to the nines, long sleeve button-ups. You know, I mean, we're going to look good, we're going to look sharp, we're going to look professional.
Yep.
But really big into that two-stepping kind of music.
Okay, and you're going to hate me for this. I'm not a country music fan.
I understand
that. I know, and I think we told you this before. Yeah. Now, I like the older stuff. I like the 90s stuff. You know,
Okay, so that's right where I fall in.
Yeah.
I'm a country music fan, most would think today's country music.
Yeah.
And that's not what I call country
music. I'd probably come request some neon lights.
Okay.
Or some strawberry wine.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines, depending on the mood, of course.
Right.
So I've actually always wanted to DJ. I love music, and I have some friends, and I said, hey, if you ever get married, let me DJ your wedding.
Yeah.
I know how good I'd be, but I think I'd be all right at it.
Yeah.
So I think it's fun. You know, the music sets the tone for the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important piece. You know, I know during my wedding, I was very specific with my DJ of, hey, don't play these songs, right? I don't want any Cupid shuffles or anything like that.
Okay.
Stick to these songs that I have picked out because they're for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, Having a good DJ can make the night, or having a bad DJ can ruin it.
Absolutely.
And it kind of controls the pace of the night, so it's really cool that you do that kind of stuff. And I'd love to come see some of your work, especially the auctioneering stuff. I've seen your rodeo stuff and your DJing stuff on Facebook, but I've never seen the auctioneering stuff. Now, when it's local auctioneering, is it what I'm picturing of you know, cars, or is it more cattle auctions?
Right now, I sell a livestock sale. I sell it weekly. I sell a poultry and consignment sale monthly, and then I work a handful of benefit and charity auctions.
Okay, so someone raffles off of whatever it may be, and you throw that in the raffle and start auctioning it off to charity.
Yep.
I'd love to do something like that here. I think it'd be really fun to do something like that and get you on there.
Absolutely.
You know, for a United Way campaign or something like that, I think it'd be really fun to get you down there and doing something like that.
Yeah.
And give it to the highest bidder. Is there a lot of bid wars you get into?
Yeah. The more there is, the funner it can get.
Right.
You know, the more fun we're going to have.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It's kind of like more the merrier. I mean, the more people that want it and want to bid on it, the funner it'll get.
I love it. All right, well, cool. Thanks for sharing some of the stuff outside of work, and we could probably talk for hours about that. But since we're on the Melton True Blue podcast, we probably need to talk a little about what you do. And your role is vital to the company, right? And inspection bay technician is what your label is. But I think it really doesn't lay out exactly what all you do, that inspection bay technician. Just taking a step back, tell us about the inspection bay and what it does in kind of a whole.
So the inspection bay, when a truck and trailer comes off the road, we are the first eyes to look at that truck. The driver is required to do a pre-trip, but there is limitations to that. There is things of that truck and trailer that the driver can't see.
Sure.
And that is my job to find those issues, whether it's wheel seals, airlines, air leaks, things of that nature. I mean, that kind of wraps up what I do. I'm the kind of the the triage of the doctor's office. I mean, I triage it and send it to the doctors, the mechanics, and let them work on it.
And I think that analogy is so good, and I heard you say that, and I kind of stole it from you now, but it's spot on, right? You know, the truck goes in, and it's any truck that enters that's in Tulsa, they're routed through Tulsa. We get them through the shop, correct?
Correct.
And so they come to Tulsa, they go through the inspection bay, and you guys have a 100-and-something-point checklist, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a bunch. And you're going over every nut and bolt, essentially, of that truck.
Yeah.
And then you're writing, essentially, the diagnosis of, hey, here's what's wrong with the truck, right? Mm-hmm. And then passing that over to one of our mechanics to work on that and get that fixed, correct?
Right.
And if we can do it in-house, great, or if we can send it off. And most of the stuff we usually do in-house that you're seeing, correct?
Yeah. And what... most of what we can't do in-house is warranty work.
Okay.
With running a newer fleet, we have that to our advantage.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if any drivers are watching this or new drivers, the security that you should have in this is, you know, we're preventing breakdowns on the road from stopping you from getting paid, right? You know, you have a breakdown. Of course, we do have some breakdown fees, but we want you running, right? And we want you moving. We want our freight delivered on time. And safely. In order to do that, you've got to have a truck to do it, right? And so these guys here in the inspection bay, when you're going through it, know that it's for a reason. It's to prevent those breakdowns from happening on the road, because you can catch a lot of stuff through the inspection bay that if they don't come through, you know, 100 miles down the road, something goes wrong, and then we're, you know, kind of stuck where we don't have a shop there, right,
oh,
where they're
absolutely
at.
Absolutely.
And so you guys catching that stuff and getting it fixed before it happens is really the name of the game, I guess, in the inspection bay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what do you think, you've been doing this for, how long have you been here now?
I've been here five and a half
years. 5.5 years. Yeah. I figure you and I are about on the same pace there.
Yeah.
And you came out to MU2. We've gotten to know each other pretty well throughout the years. And you know, throughout your 5.5 years, what do you think your biggest learning curve was? You know, coming in, I know your job before Melton was what? What did you do before Melton?
I worked in a tool rental department where we maintenanced a lot of equipment.
Okay.
We rented a lot of equipment out. Things from, you know, just an everyday power drill all the way up to a skid steer, track hose, mini excavators, wood chippers, man lifts, things of that nature.
And how did you hear about Melton? How did you hear about us?
My brother-in-law worked here previously.
Okay.
He was gone at that time. A lady that worked here, still works here,
yep,
had recommended me. I was job hunting and just happened to come across this. And I thought, well, okay, it's 45 minutes from home.
That saves a little bit of a drive,
know,
yeah.
And so it's going to have to be worth it. It's going to have to be worth my time. I put in a job application just thinking, well, it's a big company. They're just going to overlook little weasel me and go right on with life. Well, it wasn't long. I got a phone call,
yep,
that my resume had been looked over, and Melton is family oriented.
Yep.
I looked for this to be a question, and I ain't going to rabbit trail us too far, but I knew that Melton was a company that I needed to dig a little deeper into. When I told the fellow that called me, it was going to be about a week and a half before I had a day off to come in for an interview.
Yeah.
And he was totally okay with that.
Right.
So I heard about it, turned in an application, and 5.5 years later, here we are.
Yeah, we're still here, right? And that says something too, you know, being here 5.5 years and coming from a different company. And like you mentioned, the 45-minute drive, it's got to be worth it, right? And when you came here to work, it's not only the work that's keeping you here, it's the people on the inspection bay. I know you guys run a really tight ship in there and got some really good teammates there. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the camaraderie between you two.
You know,
how many are there now on your shift?
There's three of us, I guess,
okay,
on my shift.
Yep.
There's 2-day shift guys, a split shift guy.
Yep.
So we'll just say three. You know, and with a tight-knit group that's that small, I mean, and I've heard this all my life, you'll spend more time with your coworkers than you will with your significant other. And I firmly believe that, because,
yep,
you know, you're here, we're just going to say 10 hours.
Yep. I mean,
you're away from your family 10 hours a day. You come here, you do your job. Your coworker knows about your family. He knows what you had for dinner the night before.
Sure.
I mean, you just build a relationship with that person. And with that relationship, I mean, you get to be pretty pretty much family.
Absolutely.
And I would say the other two guys that work with me, there's nothing I wouldn't do for either one of them. We're just that close.
Sure.
So it don't matter what needs to happen. They're just a phone call away. And that means a lot in today's world. You know, not just anyone would give you the shirt off of their back, and them guys would give me the last dime in their pocket if I needed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the same thing rings true throughout the whole building here. You know, mm-hmm. I think we do a really good job of that, and it's not something that we it just happens, right? You know, it's that kind of that chemistry that you were talking about of, you know, hey, we're here at work, and especially you guys, you know, there's no working from home with your job, right? No. You know, you're here. You can't fix a truck over the computer, right? And so you're here 5 days a week, and you got to build that relationship up with those other team members and become that family, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, work can be hard sometimes, especially in your guys' role. You know, it's a dirty job. It's tough. But if you have good people around you, that job's a little bit easier, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I always tell folks, you can give me the best job in the world, but if I'm surrounded by a bunch of jerks, for lack of better terms, I'm not going to enjoy that job, right?
Absolutely.
You can give me the worst job in the world, but if I'm surrounded by great people, I'm going to enjoy that job. And I think, you know, here in Melton, we're blessed to have both, right? Great job and great people around you. And I'm glad to hear that from your end, too. And I knew that coming into the question, but I wanted you to hear that on camera, too. So shout out to the other guys in the inspection bay. And now females, too.
Well, we've actually transitioned her to the shop.
She's now
kicked her out of the nest.
so she's now full-on
trailer mechanic
now, right? And she came to us from a local school here, and you kind of trained her up in the inspection bay. And I think that inspection bay is a really good feeding job to go be a mechanic on those trucks, right?
Absolutely.
Because you're looking at everything, and then the only step next is to fix those things, right? But you know, hey, wheel seal's down. Well, I know what that is. Now I just need to go fix it, right? And so I think that inspection bay is a really good transition area to go into that mechanic work. Mm-hmm. And so we're proud of Kayla coming in, and she was in the inspection bay for quite some time with you guys, learning the ins and outs of it, and now full-on trailer mechanic, which is really neat to see, and seeing more women into that workforce of turning wrenches.
Absolutely.
So we
love to see
that.
Got another female trailer mechanic.
That's right, yeah.
Amber.
Yep.
She moved from tires. Started out as a detail lady, went to tire work, has now graduated out of working tires into being a trailer mechanic. Yeah. I mean, more females are getting into this line of work.
Yeah, and same thing we see on the driver's side too, right? You know, I think flatbed driver, that industry was dominated by males for a very long time, and now we've got a good handful of female flatbed drivers, and it's a tough job, right? But it's really cool to see us kind of breaking down those walls and getting females into the industry of driving and also working on our trucks and fixing them and repairing them. So we love seeing that, and thanks for all you do for training that team up and getting them ready for that kind of next chapter there. Another shout out to you is you just recently, it's probably been about a year or two since you got your CDL, correct?
Yep.
And so you went out and got your CDL license, your commercial driver's license, for those who don't know. So you are now allowed to drive some of those trucks that are out there, or allowed to drive all of them, right?
Yeah.
And so tell us about CDL school. Why did you want to get into it? And
you know, I've always wanted my CDL, but it's just always been a mountain to climb. It's not something that you're just going to go in, you know, say riding a bike. I mean, you go get on a bike for the first time, you want some training wheels on it, or you're going to skin your knees.
Yep.
And that's just the way of getting your CDL.
Sure.
You know, there's a reason it's not easy to get. There's a reason that you have to, I mean, for lack of a better word, be somebody to have one. You know, because, and here's my thought, these guys that are driving these big trucks are traveling with your family and mine.
Yep.
And you want some, you know, goon in there driving this truck that don't have any idea, you know, or what's going on and the stress.
80,000 pounds of weight on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
80,000 pounds moving 75 mile an hour down the road. You've got to have some sense to be able to get that thing stopped. So I've always wanted my CDL. Again, it was just something that I knew at some point in my lifetime I would do. I just didn't know when.
Sure.
18 is the minimum requirement to get one. I turned 18, just wasn't ready for it. You know, it just wasn't my time in life.
Mm-hmm.
Turned 21. You got to be 21 to go intrastate, to go across state lines legally. I turned 21. Still, it just wasn't my time. Pretty soon, I get up in years, and my insurance level gets cheaper. Therefore, I'd turned 25, and finally, it was my time in life to get my CDL. Well, of the same year, they had passed a requirement where you had to go through an 8-week class to get your CDL. Well, what do you think that done to me? That pushed me back. That's just a little bit steeper of a mountain I'm going to have to climb. But I done my research, and I got my ducks in a row, and it wasn't long I was enrolled, had called and done some checking, was looking to get in the spring part of 2023. This is about October of 2022. 8 days later, I get a phone call, and it tells me 10 days after that, I'm enrolled in CDL school, and I need to be there. So November of 2022, I started CDL school, and January of 2023, I got my CDL, and just kind of went off from there. Yeah. Went ahead and got a tanker endorsement, went ahead and tried to get my doubles and triples, missed it by one question, nothing that I'm going to take off my plate, still plan to get that next time I renew my license. You know, the more you have, the
more opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And same to our drivers too. You know, getting some of those endorsements, Chwik card, hazmat, things of those natures can get you more loads, right? Because there's some loads that we haul that require those things. Mm-hmm. And in order to be able to get the full maximum amount of miles and loads, having those endorsements help out a lot. So good for you for doing that. Now, where did you go to school? It was local, correct?
Yeah, Heavy Metal Training Institute there at Big Cabin. Okay. by the woodshed truck stop, by the Big Indian.
Yeah, and
which it's recently moved now. It's now in Pryor.
Oh, really? I feel like everything's going to Pryor now.
I guarantee you. Yeah. American Industrial Park.
Yeah, it's growing. And Google's down there now, a lot more stuff is going into Pryor, so seems to be growing. Any big shout outs to the school, where they recommend the school?
Absolutely. Yeah. 10 stars out of 5. I mean, was an absolute, and it don't matter if you've never drove a truck before, if you're a veteran of the truck. One of the guys that actually went and took his CDL test with me had been driving a truck for 41 years and did not have a CDL. He had just flew under the table that long and decided it was finally his time that he best get right before something got right
with him. Johnny Law comes knocking,
Another guy that was in my class had never pulled more than like a lawnmower trailer.
Okay.
I mean, take two total different ends of the...
So every walk of earth, kind of
absolutely.
Out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they treated you right, and it was a very good and informative course. And I like what you said. it's no easy feat to go out there and get your CDL, and it shouldn't be, right? No. You know, like you said, these are big machines moving down the highway with families on the road, and it shouldn't be just a handout, right? You know, you really had to study for it. I know you did the driving test as well, and had to study for that as well. And so, I compare it, and I shouldn't, but when you're 16, you're getting your learner's permit and all that stuff. A lot different than that, right?
A lot more
meticulous, and a lot more, information to process. And like you said, earlier, stopping a truck, right? No one really realizes when you tap on those brakes, it's not an immediate stop. It's what, 200, 300 yards you want to give yourself to come to a full stop, fully
it's
loaded?
A long ways, yeah.
Yeah. Which is wild. And so good for you for doing that. And it also gave you some more responsibilities with your job, correct? You get the CDL to give you some more opportunities in your work field.
Yep.
Such as
I do some truck shuttling now.
Yep.
We do a lot of business with MHC Body Shop.
Sure.
Same way with service. We go back earlier. We talked about the warranty work. That stuff has to go back to the dealership. So I get to move those trucks, gets me out of the shop a little bit, a little bit of fresh air, kind of break the monotonous of it up. So,
yeah, it's nice that you're able to do that. And we appreciate you doing that as well. Going out there and getting that, so you can do more for us in the shop, and it makes you a more, I always tell folks, I want to be the Swiss Army knife of Mellon Truck Lines, right?
Absolutely.
I want to have every little tool under my gadget belt, right?
Yeah.
And the more you do, the more you learn, the more opportunities you're going to have here, right? And so you getting that CDL opens the door more for you a little bit as far as advancement. And I say that to all employees, right? Learn your job, master it, and then go learn about something else, right? Mm-hmm. How does this side of the company work? Well, yeah. It's good to know that side. You know, we recently had you, not too long ago, we had you out at Mellon University, mm-hmm. Our offsite training, and it's a really good tool to hear. You know, especially if you've been in the shop, you don't get a ton of exposure to the business side, the inside. So when we go to this Mellon University, you get to meet people, hear people talk about what they do, and really learn the big picture of Mellon Truck Lines. And Absolutely. So and it was really cool hearing you talk, and I think everyone was fascinated with the shop. The same thing on our side, you know, on the office side, those folks aren't learning what the folks in the shop do, right?
Absolutely.
And so the more cross training we can do, the better work company we're going to be.
Oh yeah.
What did you take away from Mellon University?
You know, I learned a lot there, but probably the biggest thing that I got from that, and I was just thinking of this as you were saying that, is it takes a team to make this place move.
Yep.
You know, no driver can do it without the mechanics. Mechanics can't do it without the drivers can't do it without the load planners.
Yep.
We can't make money if the drivers ain't making money. I mean, you get it. I mean, it's a whole tree, it's all the branches, but it still makes up the trunk of the tree. I mean,
right.
It still makes up the tree, and it don't matter. You know, the body, you know, the legs have to have the arms have to have the legs. It's just a moving progress that everybody has to have everybody. Nobody works harder than the next guy.
Yep.
We're all evenly yoked. We all pull the same weight around this place. And that was very eye-opening to me because, you know, down there, if them trucks aren't running right, then the driver can't move one down the road.
Yep.
Well, then you think on the other side of the box, well, if that truck ain't got a load book to go get, then that truck ain't making money. So it familiarizes me with the business side, that what happens in this big building of, it takes everybody to make this company move.
Absolutely. It's not just one person, right?
Nope.
Or one department. It's every piece, and I always say it's a puzzle, right?
Yep.
Every piece has got to fit in order for this thing to work, and then, you know, every day we come back and we scramble the puzzle up, and then we got to put the puzzle back together, right?
Yeah.
And so every day is a little bit different, which is nice. And I'll brag on you a little bit. At Mellon University, you told a really, really cool story and very heartwarming story about a driver. And you talked about generosity and driver yeah. needed some money.
Yeah.
And you gave him what you had in your wallet.
Yeah.
And said, hey, here you go. You know.
Yeah. That driver had come to me. I was here by myself one day. That driver had come to me, just kind of down and beat out. And I said, hey, you know, is everything okay? And he said, man, no, it's not. And I said, oh, well, what's going on? Is there any way I can help? And he said, well, my mom has been given like 3 or 4 days to live. She's dying of cancer, and I'm just trying to get home. But I've not been here long enough to make any money to get myself home.
Yep.
And he had some gadgets on his truck, and I told him, I said, you box that stuff up, and I'm going to give you what's in my pocket. And I had a brand new, it was crisp as they come, $100 bill in my pocket, and I give that driver and send him on his way, and he looked at me, I mean, bawling.
Yeah.
He looked at me and he said, Derek, I'll never be able to repay you. And I said, listen, I don't really care to ever see that $100 bill again. You know, the heartwarming feeling of knowing that driver, that I had just a little inkling of helping him get home to his mom before she would be laid to rest, that was plenty for me. And that'll last me my time of melting. I mean, I will always hang on to that story.
Yeah, love that. And when you told that story, it warmed all of our hearts too. And those are the people that we have in the building, right? And those are the reasons why Melton is the company it is, and the reason why you're here with us, right? You know, we don't hire, you know, you talked about submitting your application, and, you know, you were just in a pool of people. Well, we go through several interviews to get to the right person, right? And we know, you know, this person may not have every box checked, but we can tell, you know, this is a good person, willing to learn, and has a good heart. We want them on our team. We can train you the soft skills. We can train you on how to do damn near anything, right?
Yeah.
And so people like you is what makes this company special and what makes it important. So we appreciate that very much, and thanks for sharing that story on the podcast
yeah.
here. So very cool stuff, Derek. Gosh, I'm trying to think of what all we can wrap this thing up with. I was going to ask for some embarrassing stories of you in the shop, but those might not be good for camera.
Yeah. We'll tell them around campfire.
Yeah, we'll tell them around campfire and a few beers later. So very good. Well, Derek, anything else you'd like to add to any drivers listening, any employees listening?
You know, here's the deal. This, just find a company that not only are you going to invest in, but that invest in you. I said earlier I drive 45 minutes here. I drive right by a industrial park. I have every opportunity to pull off and find a different job that's, you know, 30 minutes closer to home. But there's a reason that I drive 45 minutes to Melton Truck Lines. And even if it's not Melton Truck Lines, I mean, I highly recommend Melton Truck Lines, but even if it's not a company that is umbrellaed under Melton Truck Lines, guys, find a company that'll invest in you.
Everyone, Derek Compton, thank you so much for listening to the Melton True Blue podcast. If you're interested on being on the podcast, please reach out to myself or Miss Emily, and we'll get you on. Derek, certainly appreciate it, sir.
Yep,
thank you very much.
Thank you.